Our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 15. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Molly. And isn't it good to hear good news of things that are going on in different places? It's lovely to hear the news of what's going on in Moldova. Let's do keep praying for them. And lovely to have the Lasky family with us, and let's pray for them. It's always so exciting when people stand up and are baptized, and when we hear of how God is at work in other places. Let's pray before we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you are at work. And we ask that you would be at work now as we seek to see you more as we look at this passage in Ephesians. Help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing a series thinking about Paul's letter to the Ephesians and others in the area as well. And as we look at Ephesians, we're going to think about what it means to be church, about belonging to this community of disciples on an adventure together of becoming more like Jesus and helping others do the same, and how Ephesians can help us in this area. And this passage is wonderful. I looked back, as Rob did last week, I looked back and saw when I'd preached it before, and I preached it in a series looking at Paul's prayers. Because, of course, this passage is a prayer. There are various prayers in Paul's letters, and they're wonderful. And I really encourage you to read all these different prayers and use them to pray for other people as well. Paul, writing to these Christians, has already reminded them, as we saw last week, of this lavish grace that God has for them, and of course for us as well. We've been reminded last week about the freedom, the love, the forgiveness that is found in Christ. And so in some ways it seems quite obvious, really, for Paul to then say, well, this is all amazing and exciting stuff, so I'm going to pray it for you. That's really what he's doing here. He says that right at the start of this passage. You know, we know that whenever we see the words therefore, we know it's there for a reason. And whenever we see something like for this reason, we know we need to look back and think, okay, why is he saying this? And then, of course, he prays. So this is a prayer from Paul. And it's a prayer for the people he is writing to, which includes us. And it's specifically a prayer to grow in knowledge. Two things this week. You know when God is speaking to you, don't you? When you go to different things, nothing to do with each other, and someone says something or reads a Bible passage and you think, well, I've just heard that from somebody else. That happened to me this week. At two different occasions, I heard the beginning of Colossians read, in which there's also, interestingly, a reminder to pray for God's people to grow in knowledge. So this is really something very important to Paul. We can see it in a number of his prayers and his letters. And surely it shows us, as it's shown me this week, that it's important for us all to pray. To pray for each one of us to grow in knowledge. And so that's what we're going to think about today. We're going to think about knowledge. And we're going to think about it in a few different ways. But I think the first thing we need to do is just to think a little bit about what we mean by knowledge here. This week, I had the privilege of looking after a couple of children, one still at primary school and one at secondary school. And as part of the time I spent with them, they decided to try and teach me Minecraft. If you're not sure what Minecraft is, I think it's a computer game. I'm still not really sure. But anyway, and I think it's safe to say that I really wasn't very good. In fact, one of them said to me something along the lines of, it would be easier to teach a baby to walk than to teach me how to play Minecraft. That is the level of my Minecraft ability. And this is a slightly tenuous example, but I hope it helps us to think about what knowledge is. I knew about Minecraft. I'd heard about it. I knew about it intellectually, not on a deep level or anything like that. I'd heard about it. I knew about it. But playing Minecraft, spending time trying to work out how it worked very badly, I knew much more by the end. You basically have to build stuff on a computer game. And actually, one of the children was showing me how to build stuff in the house, and I was so bad that they locked me out of the house and I couldn't go back in because I was breaking things, apparently. I didn't really know what I was doing. So I had known something about it, but by playing it, I knew more about it. I knew more deeply about it because I had tried to play it. And if I kept playing, like these young people do who seem to know all sorts and watch YouTube videos about it all, it's deep in themselves. It's something that they know. They almost inhabit it. So we could say that both of those are knowing. But one is more than the other, isn't it? One is deeper than the other. And when we think about knowing in this case of our passage, it's knowing which is something more than we know in our mind. It's something that we know within our very being. That's what Paul is praying for here. So what does Paul pray for in this passage? Well, firstly, he prays that we would know him better, that we would know God better. We've already said we are a community of disciples, and being a disciple is about learning, about becoming more like Jesus. And here, Paul is praying that his disciples will come to know God better. In other words, become more like Jesus. And of course, it's about knowing God, not Paul. He's there to be known. God is there to be known, not just in our minds, but in our very beings. That's what being a disciple is all about, knowing God better. And each day, we can come to know him better. It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's not just learning a set of things for an exam. It's knowledge of him, of God. And as we think about being part of the church, that's one of the reasons that it's important we meet together, so that we can know God better, to help one another know him better, to encourage each other, not just, as I've already said, with our minds, but with our hearts and with our very being. But Paul doesn't just pray that we know God more, but he prays specifically about what it is that we know about and how we know about it. Paul says that he prays that they may know God more through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal who God is, to give us wisdom as well. So in some ways, we could say it's about mind and heart knowledge, couldn't we? And of course, we know revelation is important because God reveals himself to us. And he reveals himself to us in Scripture, in the Bible. He reveals himself to us through others, through times with him. Which is why it's important that we read the Bible. It's why it's important we meet with others. Why it's important we spend time in God's presence and prayer and listening to him. The Passion Version says this in one of the verses. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Paul is praying that each day we would come to know God more, not as a one-time thing, but as a growing and deepening intimacy and relationship with him based on revelation and wisdom. And I wonder, what does that look like for you? Today it's been great, isn't it, to have some baptisms. And when we do baptism prep, one of the things that we talk about is that baptism is often the start of the journey of faith. Now, that metaphor of journey gets a bit overused, doesn't it? I mean, Strictly started last night. We know that we're going to hear that word a lot in the next few weeks. But it's a reminder that none of us are there yet, that we are still learning. And I know there's been a mix for all of us over the pandemic. Some of us have grown in knowledge of who God is in amazing ways. Others have really struggled. But what I want to say to all of us, wherever we are on that spectrum, there's no time like the present to make a recommitment to keep going on that journey of faith, or even to start that journey for the first time. To ask God that Paul's prayer would be for you, that you would come to know God more. Second thing that Paul prays is that we would grow in the knowledge of the hope he has called us to. That's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? And we could look at that in a couple of ways. We could say that God's call is when we were first called, when we first came to know Jesus. And then as we think about the hope that we've been called to, we can then think about what that looks like. The hope of the call placed on us. The call to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Because God has called us to belong to Jesus, to be part of the family of God. We celebrate that with baptism. We've said those words this morning. To be part of God's household of faith, the body of Christ, the church. And although we might not feel it sometimes, that is hope. Because as we will see later in Ephesians, that means we are called to peace with one another. We've sung about that today. That there are no barriers between us. Oh, how the church generally has messed that up at times. Paul prays that we will know the hope to which God has called us to, and that is found in one another. And he prays that the eyes of our hearts, that's our inner being, that's our very selves, will know this hope. That is Paul praying that you will know deep in your being that you belong to the family of God. I think that's a really good prayer for us all to pray, isn't it? For ourselves and for one another. But there's another thing about hope that Paul talks about here. And that is the hope of the inheritance waiting for us, the future. Remember last week, Rob reminded us that the Holy Spirit is a seal, a guarantee of what is ours. One day, that final inheritance, eternity with God, as Rob referred to last week, by God's grace, will be ours. And it's good to be reminded of that. To read those passages in Scripture, such as Revelation 21, or to sing songs reminding us of what is to come, but also to live in the knowledge, in the hope of that. Which, if we think about it, should change our perspective, as Rob reminded us last week. And Paul prays that we will know this, that we will carry it deep within ourselves as we await what is for us. John Stott says this: all this was in God's mind when he called us. He called us to Christ and holiness, to freedom and peace, to suffering and glory. More simply, it was a call to an altogether new life in which we know, love, obey and serve Christ, enjoy fellowship with him and with each other, and look beyond our present suffering to the glory which will one day be revealed. This is the hope to which he has called you. Paul prays that our eyes may be opened to know it. Brothers and sisters, in a world which seems hopeless at times, we can be hopeful. Because in our very beings, we know that we have a glorious inheritance awaiting us. I encourage you to hold on to that hope. Know it deep in yourselves. Pray for others to know it too. And if you don't know this hope, well, I'd love to talk to you about it at any point. Many of us have that hope here. Finally, Paul prays that we will know the power God has for us. Actually, more than that, if we look at this passage, we read that this power is incomparable. So you can't compare it to anything else, anywhere, ever. Anything that you have seen that is powerful is nothing compared to this power. Whether that's the McLaren of Lando Norris, or the Hadron Collider, Whether that is the most powerful leader in this world, nothing is more powerful than this power Paul is talking about here. That is the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. This power is incomparable. I want to point out a couple of things. Firstly, this power, as I said, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that enabled Jesus to ascend, and that enabled Jesus to sit at the right hand of the Father. This power won the victory over sin, over death. And as Paul puts it and Molly read to us, his power is over all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. My goodness, that is power. And we can know this power because Paul prays we know it. And that power means that we don't need to fear. We have historical evidence of this power in Jesus raising from the dead. You've heard the phrase, knowledge is power. Well, this is the case. It really is. And knowing that power deep in our very beings means that we can trust Jesus because of what he has done for us. And if you're not sure, spend some time reflecting on just what Jesus has done for us, for you, in the power he has shown you. But of course, if Paul prays that we know this power, then we can know this power at work in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Later in his other prayer, in Ephesians, in chapter 3, Paul prays that we may know the power at work in us to strengthen us, to help us grow and grasp just how much God loves us, and also to know that he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Well, how might his power be at work in you this week? We might think that could be a supernatural moment where we pray for someone to be healed and they are. Of course, that is really good for us to do. But it might also be that moment when you stand up for your faith at work. Or when you say no to something that you are addicted to. That is also the power of God at work in you. We can know his power at work within us and through us. Isn't that good news? How might we see that this week? So in this passage, Paul is praying that we will grow in the knowledge of God, in the hope of our call and inheritance, and in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And my prayer for all of us is that this deep knowledge grows in us each day. Whoever we are all disciples, and we are a community of disciples on an adventure together. We are all learning. How might God be at work in you this week, teaching you and helping you know more deeply? Amen.